So, Jen, can you please tell us what Life Cycles is all about and what kind of programs you have going on this summer out in Victoria?
So, Life Cycles is all about the local and the global food networks. But what we focus on is the local farmers and supporting local farmers to grow our food, to teach children about the value of fresh, whole foods for environmental as well as personal health reasons, and being able to support a community and understanding that value of food as a part of community. We're about supporting consumers purchasing directly from farmers and taking out that middle person, and then promoting diversity and respect for the diversity and bounty of this region of South Vancouver Island. So that's what the vision of Life Cycles is about. We also our focus is to create positive change in schools and community, and we have several different programs that do that.
So can you talk about how you're making this vision a reality and perhaps tell us some of your most inspiring programs going on right now?
Yeah, we have, I'll just kind of list them off and then we can go into them.
Mm-hmm.
Growing schools goes into different schools and fulfills that aspect about teaching. Then there's the Fruit Tree Project, Homegrown, which I coordinate, Youth Community Entrepreneurship Program,
mm-hmm.
An international program that goes into Cuba and works with organizations in Cuba. And they have a 14-acre urban agricultural center, their communal kitchen, and train Cubans in food growing there. We have The Hive, which is an urban agricultural site, Groundworks, which is... We have two offices. Life Cycles is one, and Groundworks is another. And Groundworks operates as a meeting space and resources. And the entrepreneurship program runs out of there, as does climate change. So,
nice.
Some of our more well-known programs are the Fruit Tree Project.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fruit Tree Project is, I think, an absolutely incredibly amazing project that really tries to minimize food waste and harvest that food that people just don't see as food. Like an apple tree, often people see, wow, what a beautiful tree, but they don't see it as an apple, like as a place to go and get an apple. Often people will have a beautiful apple tree or a pear tree or peach tree in their backyard and then go to the grocery store to get a peach. Well, their peaches are falling to the ground rotting. Either that or they can't handle the amount of food that's coming off the tree and they don't know what to do with it, because our society now just goes to the grocery store when we need food. We don't think about canning or preserving or those people who don't have food. So the Fruit Tree Project organizes volunteers and goes to the homes of people who have these fruit trees and don't know what to do with the abundance of fruit. And we pick all the fruit and bring it back to Life Cycles, some of which is used for sale to support the program, and then some of which is given to local organizations that can give the food out to people on the street and families who need it and who can use it. That's an excellent project. There's a manual, and many people have taken this idea and expanded on it and brought it to different places, to their communities.
Nice. And you're the coordinator of that one? You said?
No. Laryl is. I coordinate a program called Homegrown,
mm-hmm.
and I go to a few reserves in the area and teach low-income families from the reserves how to garden organically. And that program started out doing community gardens, but we found that was not very successful, so we moved to building gardens and yards. We do raised beds, so we take volunteers out. This is what we're doing in the middle of right now, is building beds and planting them and teaching people how to plant their garden, how to maintain it, how to keep it going, how to have succession, how to minimize pests and disease problems and solve them organically. Mm-hmm. And we do that through regular home visits and workshops. And I'm proud to say we're also using resources that the reserve already has, like a greenhouse, and teaching people how to make their own, start their own starts as well as a community.
And how many communities are you working with right now?
Well, our main group is a community called Sartlip.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we worked with Pauquechin, and I think this year that's continuing as well. And then today I'm going out to another reserve to see whether or not they want to have a community garden.
Hmm.
And because they're a very, very small reserve, so we're going to see whether or not a partnership between us will work. And I really hope that it will, because I'm really excited. There's four reserves on the Saanich Peninsula, and right now I'm working with three of them. The fourth already has a pretty strong gardening program in place. So often the workshops that I give are open to anybody of the four reserves who come in. So often they come, and I can support them in that way, but it's not direct.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's such an incredible program. I enjoy it so much for many different reasons, like cross-cultural purposes, environmental, like we're growing food purposes, also mm-hmm. helping low-income families support their income by growing their own food. A lot of funding comes through diabetes, funding to help diabetes. This is a really, really proactive way to help people get exercise, get good food, learn how to cook in really healthy ways, and be outside.
Hmm.
And often you'll be working in the garden, and then children are come up, and what's going on, and they'll be interested, and they'll be getting their fingers dirty, and people are whacking hammers for the first time, and it's great, really great.
Yeah, community gardens. Nothing brings people together from all different age groups like community gardens.
Yeah.
Beautiful. How many community gardens are there in Victoria right now?
How many community gardens?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Lots.
Mm-hmm.
Life Cycles is involved in in two right now. There's one that's right across the street from our office, and that's in the middle of a parking lot, and it's a fairly small community garden. Right now it's under threat of being paved over, but the members are strongly organizing to prevent that from happening. And that's a great little spot, because you're walking along and you see city all around you. There's parking lot, there's cars, and then all of a sudden you see this beautiful cob house with beautiful native plants on the roof. And you see all of these, some raised, like high raised beds for people who are elderly, and lower ones, and these beautiful gardens, incredible plots with creative designs and magnificent flowers and food growing out of it.
Hmm.
I love that place. And then there's, we're also, one program is a garden creation program, and that's what I'm involved in. And we work with an organization that's based out of the University of Victoria called PATH, and they're starting a community garden right now.
Mm.
And have just found a spot. They've they've spent the whole winter looking for different places to put their garden, and I think they've finally found a spot and are starting to plan how to take this spot and make it a garden. Really, really exciting. We work with that group as well. In a similar project as the project that I just described to you with out on the reserve, but it's with low-income families in the city of Victoria. We offer workshops and regular support to those families as well.
Do you work with any local like anti-poverty organizations or the food bank or anything like that?
Insofar as we donate a lot of food to them, and also just provide organizational support to each other, but mostly through the Fruit Tree Project and donating fruit to them. We also do a program called Grow a Row, where we organize people, volunteers, who are like in the city who have vegetable gardens, because Victoria is a very warm place and there's a lot of beautiful gardens here. Most people have some sort of gardens, if not food gardens, then flower gardens. And so we ask people to grow a row of vegetables. And when harvest time comes around, we go around and pick up the vegetables and take them to the food bank. That's one way that we work with local food organizations, which is that.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, I volunteered one day when I was out in Victoria for the Fruit Tree Project. We went out to this property, and there's four of us, I think, and we just, like, spent a couple hours picking apples, and we got, like, 300 pounds of apples in a couple hours. It's amazing.
Like, insanely huge.
Yeah.
Another way that we help, this is, the Hives is an urban agricultural site, and it's used in several different ways. One is that it's a site for people to go and see, okay, you can grow food in the city. Like, it's possible. Cities are generally where the best soil is. They're warm. You can grow here, and it's good. And the coordinator of the Hives chooses a charity to donate the food that is grown there. So last year it was AIDS Vancouver Island that we donated the food to, and that went to families and people who were living with HIV and AIDS.
I was wondering if you could talk about the importance of local food, because a lot of people nowadays are recognizing the importance of organic agriculture, but it's not quite there yet with the importance of local agriculture. And can you please talk about how you at Life Cycles are trying to achieve more local food production in Victoria?
Well, one way that we're doing this is this really, really super cool project. It's a mapping project called the Community Green Map of Victoria and Region. And it's a map that focuses on city, food, land, and people. And it's got place names both in English I'm not really sure which, it's a native language, but I'm not really sure which one it is because there's so many different languages in this area, actually. And it's a map of where the different community gardens are, where are different places that you can buy local organic food. Where there's eco-agricultural sites and farms in this area, and as well as where environmental centers are, different gardens, such as the Native Plant Demo Garden and the St. Anne's Academy Apple Orchard. And it's this big, beautiful map showing where these different places are, because there's so many things here, you're right, and people don't know how to access them or where to go. So it has all that information. So that's one way that we support people, is by telling them where. Because often people, they don't know. They just go to the grocery store, right? And and you don't have very much control just going into a grocery store saying, okay, I want to buy this apple. Like, you can choose whether or not it comes from BC or it comes from Washington or Ontario, right? But you don't know who it came from. It just, there's a little sticker. You don't know the farmer. You don't know. You can't ask them questions. You can't figure out whether or not it's somebody you really want to support or like have that heart that's attached to the local food. Like I'm also a farmer, so this is a really important issue to me to go to your local farmers market and meet the people you're buying your food from. Mm.
It is really important.
It's so important because it builds community. It supports the farmers. Like, it's so difficult to be a farmer right now, and there's such a threat of farmers going broke and not having that same food, right? Like, you can buy. I worked on this great big huge factory farm a couple of years ago, and the difference in quality of the food that came out of this huge 2,000-acre factory vegetable farm versus the quality of food out of the organic farms that I've worked at and that the food that I've grown myself is phenomenally huge. And you can't know that until you experience it, I think. Like, I can say that till I'm blue in the face, and I often do, but it's something that you really have to experience. And it's not the way that you experience it is not by taking an apple from the grocery store and an apple from the tree and taking a bite out of one and then taking a bite out of the other. It's a whole entire experience. It's going out and seeing your farmers and meeting your farmers and knowing that you're supporting your community and knowing what's going into the environment, what's going into that apple, what's going into you. And having that communal experience of meeting these people and feeling good about supporting somebody. Even if they do spray, supporting somebody from your community and saying, having an influence on your community directly by saying, you know, I would buy a lot more from you if you didn't spray this. Or could you please grow this row of lettuce for me and not spray and try and grow it this way, and I would buy the whole entire lot from you. You know, like making deals, communicating, and I think I can't say how important that is.
Yeah, a lot of it's about relationship, eh? Like, we're so divorced from relationship with the food we eat in our regular society.
But it's not just relationship. Like, it's relationship with the farmer, relationship with your community, relationship with yourself, relationship with your food. Like, just food touches everybody in so many different ways. There's so many beautiful rituals around food. So many, like, your culture is so strongly tied to food. And supporting a culture that is tied to food in a really healthy and strong way is incredible. Not to mention all of the gas that's consumed driving 10,000 miles to get your lettuce to your door. Like, what I generally focus on is the community building in terms of this question, because it has such a direct effect on your life and the life choices that you can make. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really inspiring. Food does touch everything.
It does. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, in trying to get more urban land producing food, what's your experience been like with the city of Victoria? Like, how have they responded to your calls for more community gardens or for fruit trees?
A really cool project that we're doing for this year called Good Fruit and Greenways. And the city of Victoria has a program called Greenways that it's trying to... The city of Victoria is, I think, fairly supportive. Except in this trying to pave over the community garden, but that's actually not the City of Victoria. It's a parking lot company. So the City of Victoria Greenways plan is a plan to enhance the different different green areas, different parks in the city of Victoria, and they're supporting us buying 350 fruit trees and bushes in common green areas like community garden streets, cooperative housing, community centers, and parks. So we're organizing volunteers to plant those trees so that the community can share in them.
I really like how that touches on so many things, like taking power away from the forces of industrial agriculture, helping people work less, redefining the notions of public and private property, and I think that's a great, great idea.
Yeah, man. You go down a green space, you're hungry, you see a tree, you have a picnic, have your apple dessert at the end of it.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So who paid for all those 350 trees? Was it the city of...
It's supported by the City of Victoria and also Groundworks Go Greenways Project, which is another project. They also compiled a list of many different organic farmers in the area so people can have a directory of farmers in the area. Mm. So they're doing projects like that as well.
Do you feel there is, like, amongst all these different projects that Life Cycles has going on, do you feel there is like a network, like a cohesion between all the different projects and a network of farmers and people in the city that's kind of forming?
Life Cycles very strongly tries to build that. There's people often call and say, you know, I really want to meet a farmer. I really want to try and do this. And how can I? Like, they're just in a kerfuffle. Like, they want this cohesion of community and food. They don't know how to get it, and sometimes we can provide that for people. We have a really cool board at Life Cycles that just, if you're a farmer, you can, you know, put your information up there, and people come and often look at it and see that you're there. There's also another cool spot that says, like, available, has two separate boards, one land, people who have land to spare, and other people who are looking for land for gardening, and so people post their notices up there and then go back and look and see if there's anybody that they can make contact with and share land.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So simple. There's also another maps of the city that, like, have pins of different color. Each pin is a different kind of tree. And so there's all these maps with this fruit tree. It's a fruit tree map. And not every, whenever we find a new tree, we put an appropriate pin in the spot of where it is.
Mm.
People know where the fruit trees are, too. We try and reveal all the food secrets of the city of Victoria.
I'm curious to know a bit about the level, like how... Just like the structure of Life Cycles, like how you manage all this and how it all manages to be smoothly organized, if it is smoothly organized, or like is there, like I guess the board of directors is there, and then how many paid employees are there and that kind of stuff?
I don't know. There's a board of directors, and then the number of paid employees depends on the projects that are going on at the time. A lot of the Life Cycles really falls off during the winter time and then bursts open in the summer. I'm not even sure. There's how many people are over 10, but I'm not really sure because there's a fairly high turnover. There's a lot of really young people working there, like under 30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's run by a lot of youth, and then there's also programs. They're called JCP programs that are run by the government. So the government. If somebody is on
employment insurance, is it? Yeah.
Then you can apply to go into a JCP position, and the government will pay the salary of somebody, that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of that before.
Yeah, so then you can take on organizing different things. So that's... Depending on how many JCPs are available that year, you know, it expands and contracts continually. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, to wrap things up, can you tell us a little bit about some of LifeCycle's achievements and some of the goals you're working towards that you're particularly inspired about?
Yeah. So 6,500 elementary and 500 high school students have been educated about local and global food issues in the last 10 years, as well as 12 schools creating 80 garden plots in the school in the Greater Victoria area, and 500 educators trained to link school gardens and classroom learning. I think those are huge, huge achievements. Our goal is to move that up to 8,000 elementary schools and 700 high school students educated, and install 24 more school food gardens, and create a new nutrition and physical activity program that utilizes the local food garden to improve the overall health of the school children. In the community, we have trained 54 youth in agri-food business development that has resulted in 39 startup communities and 100 new jobs. This is what I find especially exciting, because this is where my work is focused. 120 backyard and community food gardens have been installed and families trained in organic growing practices. And Groundworks at Learning Center has been created, founded, which is an excellent public resource for food, agriculture, and sustainability. One of my goals is to have at least 20 new community garden projects created each year in the neighborhoods surrounding Victoria and in First Nations communities, and to just keep training people in growing food. With the fruit tree project, over 12,000 pounds of fruit have been distributed annually to volunteers, homeowners, and food banks. 19 farmers and herb growers we link people who want to grow with people who are already growing. The Hive was created in the last couple of years too. And we just want to keep finding more and more fruit trees. People just have, there's so many fruit trees in this area, so we want to keep finding those fruit trees and keep harvesting from them with the fruit tree project. And we really want to create the Hive as not just an urban agricultural demonstration site, but use it to train new farmers, which we have started doing. And, 30 household gardens and 18 composting facilities have been established, and a community garden were established in Argentina, as well as this 14-acre demonstration farm developed in Cuba. And we want to really continue those partnerships and work with other Latin American countries to help both urban farms and community kitchens. So there's an increase our membership. So I think LifeCycles is such an incredible place to work and volunteer, and is really, really strong community builder. I'm really happy to work there.